being arrested will ruin your day, your weekend, your month. Being convicted will ruin your life in many ways. So we can't necessarily stop cops from busting you, lying, etc. The focus of these presentations is about asserting your rights and making it a lot less likely you'll actually be convicted if something happens. And what we get told from lawyers is that people who act intelligently, not only in dealing with police officers, but about their rights, tend to get treated with a little more respect. So take that for what it is. Neither of us are lawyers. The lawyer is pretending to not be on this panel because she doesn't like us. But as they're switching the video, we'll just go over a few things in the what we just saw. John, do you want to pick out any of the parts that had you particularly screaming at the screen?
On a traffic stop.
Right now?
I'll use yours. It doesn't work. On a traffic stop, remember, you do not have to consent to a search. One of the smartest things, the second time through the skit there, if you notice the driver in the car rolls his window down a couple of inches. That's all you need to do. Enough to hear the officer clearly and concisely. The officer can hear you and transmit the papers. The driver's license, your registration papers.
The next video is all about that point.
If the officer asks you to exit the vehicle, that's fine. Do so. What I suggest is when you exit the vehicle, your window's already down a couple of inches. Lock every door. The reason you want to lock every door and you get out of the car, lock the door, and close it behind you is there's a little, let's see. For 15 years, I did, not 15 years, but traffic stops and such. I can search an abandoned vehicle, especially if it's unlocked, without a warrant. If once you leave that vehicle, even under express command, a lawful command by a police officer, you have now created an abandoned vehicle. He can search the vehicle without a warrant because it's abandoned on the side of the road if it's unlocked. If you've got one of these newer cars that's got the key fob, whatever, keep an extra one in your pocket or remember to grab your keys, put it in your hand. My car is old enough where I don't have that luxury, so I have an extra key, an extra door lock key, tie-stripped under my car. I know where it's at. I can get to it. It's going to be a pain on the backside, but he's not going to search my car.
Now, one of the things that we're doing with these is no one thing necessarily will keep you safe. What we do is we create lots of situations where your attorney can work to get stuff thrown out or create multiple levels of defense for you if it gets to a serious situation. At Georgia Normal, we work with a number of very good criminal defense lawyers in Georgia, two of whom, David Clark and Winston Getz, swear that they have never lost a driving while intoxicated marijuana charge when the person pulled over had refused to be searched, had refused to give consent to search. So that includes the smell issues and the like. So the putting that refusal to consent to the search up is your first level defense and one of the quickest ways for a defense lawyer to start filing to get that evidence suppressed. And once that evidence is gone, then it's so much easier to take care of your case. And Christine, if you have anything to disagree with us on or add, please do. Are we ready on the next video? After this video, we'll talk about this one really briefly and then we'll go into your questions. Are there folks with questions out there? Yeah, we'll go into questions right after pretty much after this video.
Pull down the last officer, please.
Yes, sir.
Damn that aspect ratio.
How you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
What road are you on today for me?
This is fine, sir.
Do what?
This is fine.
That's fine?
Yes, sir.
Why is that fine?
Because I can hear you.
How old are you?
Is that a required question to answer?
Yes, sir, it is.
I'm 21.
Stay right there for me.
Yes, sir.
I need you to just pull right over the side, right there.
Am I being detained?
Pull over to the side, right there.
Am I being detained or
pull
am I free to go?
Pull over to the side, right there. Okay, step on out.
So I'm being detained?
Either pull over the other side, or you can step out right here. Which do you want? pull right over to the other side and stop the vehicle.
Yes, sir.
Put it in park, shut it down. Unlock your door.
Sir, am I being detained?
Unlock your door.
Would you like me to take off my seatbelt?
Yeah. Come on out with your hands first. Talk to this gentleman here. Step on back here.
Hold him, lock it.
Are you an attorney or something? Do you know what the law is? Okay, what is the law? Okay. What else?
Hey, come on!
Yeah, it is. Let me see it.
Tell you that, then say you do not consent any searches.
But he's perfectly innocent and he knows his rights. He knows what the Constitution says. You got air fresheners under the seat. Wasn't a very good alert.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
I gotta get turned around, but it's gonna be about
point of this panel is about keeping you from being convicted and getting you through these things. If you want to, for most people, a police encounter is one of the most stressful events they'll ever go through, even a more polite one. More stressful even than public speaking. But if you are interested in pushing the matters beyond, and you have your hidden camera set up, rehearse it, be ready with what you're going to say and do. Oh, thank God. Be ready with what you're going to say and do. This panel is not specifically about what he was doing in that one. That's not what we're talking about in this one. We're talking about basically if you are having that first encounter and you just want to ensure that it doesn't get worse, how to avoid having that happen. Recording police officers is legal. However, there are a lot of gray areas still. This stuff has not hashed its way out through the courts yet. So what can a cop demand of from your phone? You saw the guys, the police immediately start going through the one guy's phone looking for whose most recent calls were in the first Flex Your Rights videos. They do that if your phone isn't locked. So is that legal or is it not? That really, to my knowledge, still hasn't been hashed out in the courts yet.
That's still got to go through the courts.
Can't say, I'm going to record this interaction.
You can say it. You can say that.
You can say it.
What the cop's going to tell you, do, don't put that down, etc. One of the things we recommend is if a cop tells you to do something, you do it. Don't resist. Don't fight. Just continue to assert your rights. Am I being detained? I don't consent to any searches. The Supreme Court, since these have been made, have put in new rulings about the right to remain silent to the point where now the ACLU has always recommended that you affirmatively assert your right to remain silent. In other words, you have to make noise to be silent. So, thank you, Scott. That's our Constitution, if we got any other questions. So you do have to say something to the effect of, I'm afraid I will not answer any questions without a lawyer. I want a lawyer here. I'm not going to answer any questions without a lawyer. You actually have to make those statements in order to defend your right to remain silent. You have to be noisy to be silent.
And I don't consent to a search. Remember that. I do not consent to a search.
Lawyer's best friend is you not having consented. All right, we had a question right here. Lady's been very patient about her question. Oh, yes, audience mic. Oh, man, we lost our last mic holder. Oh, well.
Who is it?
Green.
Third row green.
Yeah. Greenish.
Key lime pie.
Dad was speculating that if that whole video was recorded, that the search was recorded, the cops found the camera. How are we able to see this? Because cops are normally known to erase footage, damage phones, cameras.
If you notice what he did, he tried to, all he ended up doing was moving the camera, video is not available anymore. You still heard the alarm going because the key was in the keyway. So it was still recording. He tried to disable it. He didn't make it. They're not techno geeks, okay?
Yeah, and there is speculation about what the police thought during this video. I mean, you see that. Do you think you've got journalists setting you up? Do you think there's another reporter somewhere nearby with a telephoto lens, et cetera, et cetera? Now the cops worried, and I mean, that video has, from what I have heard, I mean, I'm not in the state where that's been done. It's caused all sorts of issues for the police department there. So, I mean, it's an immediate paranoia level for the police when they realize someone set them up for a change. All right, let's go to the back for a question. Yeah, you in the mask. Lone Ranger. Yeah, I'm making you work, man. Oh, shoot, you got the bum leg.
Yeah.
All right, next one's going to be over in this corner here. Then we're
then go back over there.
Someone else want to do... We'll get someone else to do mic running, too. We'll get someone in there.
I was wondering about the Patriot Act.
So are we.
Because in the video, he says the cops claim, well, they can still break the law as long as it's for safety. And apparently the Patriot Act does say that in several ways. So how do you protect yourself against that?
All right. Patriot Act is, despite all of its ridiculousness, it has some very specific areas in it on what you're doing. Like your average, from my knowledge, your average police officer really has no... way to pull that in on anyone in this room, unless some of you do people are doing freakier stuff than I can imagine. There was a case in here with actually a dear friend of mine, Caitlin, who works with a lot of activist groups and was picketing honey-baked hams place around Thanksgiving. She's does PETA work, does animal activism work, among all her other activist work. Left to go eat somewhere which was vegetarian, had a police officer follow them, hassle them, claiming basically Patriot Act stuff. They have sued. ACLU took her case once. She now has a song. It wasn't the Beastie Boys. Who did the song? Someone made a song, a band I like, and I can't remember who did it. A song praising her as a hero. They didn't win any money, but they won the case. That cop's no longer with DeKalb County, where he was at the time. So, unless I'm not an expert on Patriot Act, that's not necessarily a state matter. That doesn't cover a lot of what you people will encounter.
Agreed.
And
you know, as far as basic police encounters, that's going to go a next level up, and basic groundwork is, you know, what we're displaying here is you don't have the right to consent to search.
Yeah, you don't have to consent.
I wouldn't worry about the Patriot Act a whole lot. If it gets down to nuts and bolts, if you've done the basic groundwork, you should be covered.
Let's talk specifically about TSA and the like. When you are going through TSA checkpoints, especially airport checkpoints and the like, you are giving them the right to search you when you go through. That's been decided in courts. We all hate it, but that is the fact. You have given them the right to search you when you go through. If you don't go through that checkpoint, theoretically, they can't search you. This is also true at private events, like a football stadium. You go to a Falcons game.
Yeah.
You go to a Falcons game. Private security wants to search your bag. As long as you have the right to leave when they do that, anything they find can be used as evidence against you later on. So there are times when we still sadly waive our rights. Border checkpoints are exactly the same thing. If you're going to go through the border, you are giving them the right to search you. All right, let's see. Where's the microphone? I don't want to... Oh, you're still running it? All right, take it to someone close to you, man. Do a slow walk on through.
Hey, what's the current accepted time for a detainment for, say, a traffic citation?
There is no set minute.
There's no set time.
Unless Christine wants to correct me. It is a reasonable time. One of the basic rules of thumb is they can't detain you longer. For instance, if you're pulled over in your car, they can't detain you longer than a normal traffic stop. In other words, they say, we're going to get the dogs. The dogs are going to take an hour to get there. That's longer than your average traffic stop. How long is the average traffic stop? I can't tell you. The police can't tell you. It's going to be basically the judge's decision on whether they're going to suppress evidence or not. Was that a reasonable...
Was that an unreasonable search?
Yeah. So that's one of the big things. The whole canine issue can still be pretty crazy. They're going to say, we're going to get the dogs. Again, they might keep you there for 2 hours till the dogs show up and ruin your night. But your lawyer is then going to get any evidence those dogs find thrown out. And 2 hours, if you're sitting there and they don't have reason to actually bust you, you didn't have a weed lying around in the car, that evidence is probably going to get thrown away. What they did with the kid when they had him at the checkpoint and having the dog scratch up the car, police can't just take the dog from car to car sniffing. They, again, have to have at least reasonable suspicion to do that search. Again, that's something that will get thrown out. This car is still scratched up. But we're trying to keep you from being convicted as opposed to just having your night ruined.
Now, as far as that car being scratched up, that goes to a different court. That goes to civil court if you're going to sue the police department for getting your car repainted. So you've always got, you know, different avenues for different stuff.
So that's just the coercion method?
Generally, it's the coercion method, exactly.
Can you explain some of the stop and frisk in Georgia and their right to detain when you're a pedestrian?
Yeah, I can talk about that one. In Georgia, there are...
It's not on.
Give me 1 second. I can talk about that one. In Georgia, there are 3 levels of police interaction. The first level is going to be a consensual encounter with the police, and under those circumstances, they do not need probable cause, reasonable suspicion. Police, like everybody else, are free to walk up to anyone else and talk to them. But under those circumstances, you're free to leave. You don't have to do anything other than make sure that you can't lie to them, right? You can't do that at all.
Never lie to a cop. That's
yeah.
Something that's not covered in there. Never
they can lie to you,
so
but you can't lie to
just
them.
Just ask
right.
Martha Stewart.
So if they ask you what your name is, you got to tell them your name.
If you tell them anything.
Right. And then the next level would be the stop and frisk, which is normally called a Terry stop. And yes, they're allowed to pat down the outside of your clothes. But for that, I believe that they need reasonable suspicion. And they're looking for weapons. Or what happens often is if when you read a police report, when someone's been busted for finding something in a pocket that the police uncover during a Terry stop, if you have it on you and the police can feel it during a Terry stop, I'm not going to have very much luck saying, oh, well, that was really in that person's pocket and the police didn't see it, because it's always going to be a swearing match between you and the cop, and the cop's going to say they could see it from the pocket, it was protruding, whatever.
Your pocket on the left side was laying lower than the pocket on the right side, therefore it was obviously something heavy and could possibly have hurt me.
Right. During a Terry stop, they're only supposed to be searching for weapons and any clear contraband. And then there is an arrest. And when you are arrested, you are not free to go. And that's when your Miranda rights kick in. And you have to remember that your Fifth Amendment rights, your right to an attorney, all of those rights exist whether or not the police read you your Miranda rights.
Very true.
So those just exist. They don't magically appear whenever the police say you have a right to remain silent. You always have that right. And one final other thing about Miranda is that in the video they say, I would like to talk to a lawyer. I think that what's going to happen with that is the state's going to eventually argue, well, they said that they would like to talk to
it
a lawyer.
It wasn't clear cut.
It was not. It has to be, and I'm not even, I wish I was joking, it has to be, I want to talk to a lawyer. Those words,
I
that's
want
it.
My attorney.
Yeah. You can't say, I wish I had an attorney. Can I get an attorney? None of that. You need to, that's what you want. I want my lawyer. That's what you want. Don't couch it in wishy-washy. Nope, you want your lawyer. Just say, I want my lawyer.
So let's repeat after everybody. I want my lawyer.
I want my lawyer. Where the heck, oh, there she is.
I hope that answered the question.
Hi, this question goes for when officers can enforce laws. I had gotten pulled over about 6 months ago for the Georgia Move Over law. It was late at night. I was traveling in the far right-hand lane, like about to exit, and there was a car in front of me and a car behind me. There was a police officer on the side of the road with their lights on, but there was no car in front of them. They were just stopped there with their lights on. The first car passed by, police officer just stood there, didn't do anything. As soon as I passed by, I slowed down a little bit and moved over to the as far as I could in the right-hand lane. And as soon as I passed by them, they came up behind me and pulled me over for the Georgia Move Over law. And since then, I haven't seen anyone else getting pulled over for that same law, even though they've been violating the same thing.
Okay, if there's an emergency vehicle in the emergency lane, the right lane, you need to give them a lane between you and them.
And that's with their red lights, yellow lights, blue lights activated.
Yeah, that's not just sitting there. Even when there's not, you actually have to move over.
Slow down or move over.
I think it would be slow down if you can't move over, but yeah, they want you to move over.
I haven't read this statute, I'll admit that right now. My understanding is you have to pull over, give them a lane. If there's a lane there, you can pull over into. You don't pull into the oncoming traffic, obviously.
So as far as your specific question, what I would do is I would contact an attorney and get a specific reading, because if there was a vehicle in front of you and a vehicle behind you, and you can prove that, you know, without a doubt, and they picked your vehicle out for whatever reason, I'd like to read why they chose your vehicle and not the other two.
That there was many police, officers that had gotten killed by other vehicles, so they would not drop the law.
Not drop the case. But you know, the interesting part is, you know, why did you get singled out of three different cars? I can't say. I don't know. I wasn't there at the time.
What was the final ruling in your case? And did you have a lawyer?
Was there a fine? What was the final ruling?
I guess that I was guilty. They got it lowered. There was no points on my driver's license, but they couldn't drop it because of the law.
Was there a fine?
Oh, yeah. The fine was $800 and 6 points on my license.
What county were you in, really quickly?
Cobb County.
All right. So this is very common in the metro area, that if you're in there for any traffic violation that's not to DUI level or involved in an accident or another person or something like that, and you show up in court, I've seen this in multiple counties, Fulton DeKalb, they'll give you an option. All right, anyone here just wants to plead out, we will reduce your fines so you don't get any points. You still have to pay, reduce the charge so you don't get any points on your license, but you still have to pay the full fine. And that seems to be really common around the metro area. And if you have a lawyer, then it's your decision, are you going to appeal this up? If you plead and take that deal, you're really out of luck on appealing. If you fight it and the judge convicts you, then it's how far do you want to go on and pay for this to be fought going up. So that's just very common way things are handled around the metro area. And I mean, in that situation, if they felt you're breaking the law, they can pull you over, even if there are 50 other people breaking the law.
Out of curiosity, is there a point of time in which your right to remain silent doesn't exist? That even after point of arrest, before trial, do you have the right to remain silent up until the point of trial? Or do you have to actually talk to a cop at some point in time? Not to your lawyer, but to a cop at some point in time.
You never have to talk to the police.
You never have to talk to the police officer.
Ever. Okay. Okay,
and
so you can go.
Even if you if you do start talking to the police officers, mm-hmm. and you suddenly come to your senses in the middle of the interview, right before they're about to get you to confess to doing something awful, you can say, oh, hold
you
on.
You can invoke at any point.
You can invoke it at any point. Say, I'm invoking my right to remain silent. I want to talk to a lawyer. And they have to stop asking you questions right then and there.
But you do have to affirmatively.
Yeah, you do have to do it informally. However, if you say, I want to talk to a lawyer, and they stop talking to you, you need to not say anything else to them, because as soon as you start talking again and asking them questions and dragging that conversation on, then you have reinitiated conversation, and your assertion of your rights is no longer happening.
A real simple
example
of that is, let's go back to the very basic traffic stop, and you're stopped, the officer's got you on laser or radar, whatever device they're using, and you're in a 55-mile traffic speed zone, and he says, you know, you get stopped, and how fast are you going? Well, officer, I was doing 57 or 58. You just pled guilty to a charge because the speed limit is 55. Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
No, sir, I don't know.
Yep.
You just pled yourself guilty.
All right, next
so you don't know and you did know.
You don't even have to say.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you say you don't know, then you could be inattentive driving. You know, I don't know because I'm not paying attention to my speed.
I've never heard of anyone charged
yeah,
that
I don't,
way.
Flow I mean, of traffic. Reckless driving, but... Yeah.
Yeah, I was going the flow of traffic.
My typical answer is flow of traffic.
Yeah, you're probably not going to help yourself by really ever giving information. And if you could ever help yourself by giving the police information, you can help yourself more by doing so with the help of a lawyer.
We do another movie called Don't Ever Talk to Police. It's by one of Pat Robertson's lawyers. So, I mean, that'll tell you something. Next question.
I think we've got time for about two or three more.
Go for it.
So,
as a former law enforcement officer, I cannot emphasize enough how many times he said, "Don't let us trick you." Okay, that is the name of the game. Whenever I pulled anybody over, we don't ask you to say the alphabet backwards because we think you can. We ask you to do that so that you go, "I can't even do that sober." Okay, that is exactly why we ask that question. We know you can't do it because you can't do it sober, and you're going to admit it on the fucking dash cam. Okay. So don't get tricked. That is our number one job as law enforcement officers, is to trick you into admitting your guilt. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth.
Take this one up here. Did you gotta come up anyway?
This has boggled my mind, so I'm thrilled to have this. Okay, two times, residential road, unincorporated Cobb County, two lanes.
Oh God, Cobb.
Okay. No shoulder. Georgia State Patrol standing in the road, stopping cars, asking just to see your license, right. Stopping the flow of traffic, and then us moving.
That's implied consent.
By slowing down to not hit them, or?
No.
They're doing a road stop.
They're allowed to do that.
Weekday, middle of the afternoon.
Anytime.
Yep. Anytime they want to do it.
The state Supreme Court has said that on our by having a driver's license and driving the highways, you have given the police, you've implied that you're consenting for them to check for your ID.
At any time.
There's the fact that it was Georgia, I've only lived here a few years, but there was Georgia State Patrol on a...
It could be Georgia, it could be Cobb.
That would be fun.
Are you questioning because Georgia Patrol on a local highway?
Yeah, just okay. I've never seen that.
Look at it this way. Local police can enforce the laws on a local highway. County can enforce laws on a county highway and a local highway. Georgia State Patrol can, so long as it's the state of Georgia, they can enforce a law. They are state police. Anything, anywhere that's in the state of Georgia, if it says something, something, county, city, Georgia, they can enforce it.
We're not covering MARTA jurisdiction, though.
In the middle of afternoon, just
there's no time criteria.
Yeah.
Lake City, Georgia, is the same way, down by Clayton State University.
Yeah, Cobb County in general.
Okay.
Anybody you want?
No,
alright, there have been a lot. There are so many hands. Rob, let's, man, you can find me anytime for a quest.
Let's
yeah,
go, someone
yeah,
right
yeah that guy over there.
In the black
he's had a hand up for a while.
Okay. Thank you very much. So, for the cell phone rule, I went to the ISACA conference where they did electronic forensics.
Yep.
And they said if your cell phone is locked, it falls under the Fifth Amendment because it's something that you know that you don't have to give out as part of evidence.
Right.
So would that also fall under the same thing of, like, if they find your phone and it's still locked, you don't have to give it to them because it's something that it you know in your mind and not, like, has a physical key or anything like that?
Well, cell phones are a little bit interesting. At least in Georgia, phones are generally treated like a container, right? So if I get arrested for crime A and they search me and they find my phone, they are search incident to arrest. They can seize my phone if they have probable cause to believe that my phone was somehow used, involved in that crime. Like I called my dealer to set up my buyer, whatever it is. They can seize that phone. They can't open that phone, locked or unlocked. They can't look at the contents of that phone without a warrant. However, if it is back to the I might have just called somebody, they are allowed to look at the calls that you have sent and or
right,
you
the
have
time
made
sensitive
and received.
Material.
Right. And then if they want to look at your emails and the other data on the phone, then they would need a warrant for that. So it's a little bit situation specific. And none of what I've really read has anything to really do with whether it's locked or unlocked, because if they would still need a warrant to get at, like, the real data on there. Is that making some sense?
Yeah, the case law is that if you have, like, something encrypted or locked on a computer or on some sort of mobile device, that the courts would need a warrant in order to get to that because it falls under the Fifth Amendment of self-incrimination.
That's correct. When I was doing computer forensics for my current employer, my previous job, I was computer forensics analyst. And any computer forensics, I was doing computer or telephones, things telephones now are miniature computers, we had to have right and approval by our attorneys. And since mine was a Fortune 50 company, we had U.S. District attorneys giving us the approval to do the work that we did.
And remember...
So anything we did with the telephone had to have judicial approval.
And remember, if cops come to your house...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And if cops come to your house, these days, they really do want to get on your computer right then to see what you were logged on to. More reasons to have quick locking on your machines as well.
But locked or unlocked, password or no password, they still need warrants for those kinds of things.
Unless you're crossing the border.
Well, that's not gone to the Supreme Court yet, so let's hope it will.
Okay, well, I think that's all we got time for right now, so let's give a big hand to John, Andrew, and Christina.